I attended Sunday services in a beautiful Singapore Lutheran congregation. One local man approached me and asked with a pronounced Southeast Asian accent, "You live in St. Louis? You know Todd Wilkin?"
Pastor Matt Harrison reading from his new audiobook, Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith in Action.
Who? You mean Todd Wilkin? It turned out this man, half a world away, was a regular listener via the internet, and he's hardly alone. It really is a whole new day. We are witnessing the greatest free flow of faithfully Lutheran information in the history of the Lutheran Church. It is the worldwide moment for confessional Lutheranism. It is Missouri's moment.
You can download Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison at cph.org. It costs only $10.99 to download. This new audiobook is a must-listen for Issues Etc. fans. Christ Have Mercy by Pastor Matt Harrison, cph.org. Probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible, no doubt about it. We are going from one great prophet, a miracle worker, Elijah, to his successor, another great prophet. It very seldom happens this neatly in the Bible. And the story of Elijah ascending into heaven in a whirlwind with the chariots of fire, the chariots of God, I think Elisha says as the great prophet leaves, is near and dear to many people's hearts. It is a story of transitioning from one prophet to another. But where is Christ in this spectacular story? I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this Wednesday afternoon, July the 6th, we will, as we usually do, talk with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. She joins us here in the studio to talk about God carrying Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. And their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Pam, thanks for coming over.
Hey, Pastor. Great to see you today.
It is from Elijah to Elisha.
That's
Talk
right.
about this story as a transition from one great prophet to another.
Oh, this is a great story and a tongue twister when you try to say those two names together. In 14 short verses, you have this text in 2 Kings chapter 2. And it is the story of Elijah, the greater prophet, the one that has been really schooling not only Elisha, but these other sons of the prophets, as we read about in the text. It's seminary training, Old Testament style. They would follow this prophet around. They would listen to him. He would mentor them. This was very much the same way kind of that Jesus did with his disciples, and really what seminary training is patterned after even today. So you had the prophet Elijah, and you had his sons, his future prophets that he was teaching, Elisha being maybe you could say the number one son, the top of the class, the first one, and you had an old prophet who is really ready to be done, run his course, so to say.
The story is kind of, what should I say? It kind of has trouble getting started. If you read the entire thing, it's Elijah saying, okay, I'm going to be leaving. And then everyone is telling Elisha, did you know that your mentor is going to be leaving? And
That's
they
right.
go from kind of place to place to
yes.
place. And it's almost as though I got the impression Elijah's trying to lose his tail. That is, you know, he wants Elisha to stay, but Elisha insists on being there with his master as he leaves.
Yeah, I think that's right. Elijah, he knows what's coming. He knows he's going. And you also have the young student who he keeps hearing from the master and from the other students, he's going. Like, he doesn't want to hear it. So you've got this kind of interesting thing going on. The one saying, just stay here, let me go on, I'm going to the next place. And the student saying to the master, no, I'm your student, I'm gonna go with you, I'm going to stay at your side, and following him really around the countryside. And he says, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they go from Gilgal to Bethel, and they go then from Bethel to Jericho, and from Jericho they get to the Jordan, And then we have another crossing of the Jordan by these two, with the prophet taking his cloak and rolling it up and striking the water and the water parting so that they could cross over on dry ground. And that's a theme we've talked about a few times this summer. And then they cross, and you have the teacher saying to the student, Elijah says, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." So he is aware this isn't a normal departure from this earth. He's going to be taken, and he's made that clear, and they're all aware of it. And so the student, Elisha, says, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And the teacher says, "Well, this is a hard thing you've asked me." And he points out that really, this isn't his call to make. This is up to God. So he tells him, "All right, you know, if you see me as I'm being taken," and really he's saying, "If God allows you to see me as I'm being taken, then it will be for you. You'll receive a double portion of what I have, of my spirit." And that spirit really is the Lord, the Lord's spirit. And so he tells him, "And if you don't see me, then it won't be so." So he really leaves it up to God, lets the student know that. And they go on, and then the text says, verse 11, "And as they're talking, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separate the two of them." What a dramatic thing, whooshing through, separating them. And Elijah is taken up by a whirlwind into heaven, and the student Elisha sees it. And he cries out, "My father, my father," and the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw them no more. And he tears his own clothes, tears them in pieces, and he takes up the teacher's cloak that had fallen as he was being, or that he left back in the Jordan. They took the cloak, he takes the cloak of Elijah, and he strikes the water, and he says, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, the text says, the water parted to the one side, and Elisha went over. And this is sort of the graduation ceremony, if you would, where he has been told these things, he's been taught these things, he was witness to his teacher leaving, and now the Lord allows him to do a miracle like his teacher did. It's sort of a seal of approval. Now you are my man, you are my prophet, and he will carry on.
So this is both the exit of Elijah from the scene and God's call. Can we call it? Can we go so far as to say this is God's call to Elisha to continue Elijah's ministry?
I think so. Call and ordination, really. This is the moment that he knows. And then the next part of the text, which isn't part of our story this week, but it says, you know, Elisha succeeds Elijah, and he will go on and be God's man. And speak his word, words of law and words of gospel to the people, hope and promise.
We don't usually do this kind of this early in our conversations, Pam, but I cannot help. The minute you see them going down to the Jordan together, you're reminded both backward of the crossing of the Red Sea and the people's crossing of the Jordan in the same way to enter the land.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm even more mindful of another encounter between two prophets at the Jordan, and that is the baptism of Jesus, where the Spirit is at work, and oddly enough, it's the lesser prophet, admittedly, who bestows through the baptism of Jesus. He is the means by which God sends the Spirit to Christ, not that he didn't have it before.
Yeah, I think you have to go there, and so often we see these bookends to God's message for us in the Old Testament, completed in the New Testament. You're talking, of course, about John the Baptist and Jesus at the Jordan and the baptism by the lesser prophet, John the Baptist, who has in Scripture is referred to as the new Elijah. And he is bestowing baptism upon Jesus. Really, it's God signaling to the world that his son is the promised Messiah. He's come to do this work, and it's God's sort of ordination of Christ to this ministry now that he would carry out for us and for our salvation. So these things definitely do connect, and this is a foreshadow of that. And that's the connection, if you will, to Christ.
You said before, and we've got about a minute and a half here before we take our first break, that the spirit that is bestowed upon Elisha is not Elijah's spirit.
That's right.
But in fact, the spirit of the Lord himself. Talk about that briefly.
Yeah. And that's why Elijah says it's really not his to determine if he can have this double portion. If you know the Old Testament, when a father passes down to his children, the oldest son typically would get the greater or the double portion of the inheritance. So not out of line for Elijah or Elisha to ask for what he perceives is his as the top student, the one closest to the teacher. And yet Elijah points out this spirit that he has to be God's man, to speak God's word, to do his miracles, is not his own. It is God's, the Holy Spirit. So,
do, with only about 30 seconds, do we receive the same spirit? And if so, how?
Sure. Well, let's connect that to the Jordan as well, as we connect Christ's baptism and then connect to our baptism, because it is in the waters of holy baptism that we become children of God. We become heirs to all that he would give us. And that is when his Holy Spirit creates faith through word and water, making us his children and giving us all the things, the good things that the Father has for us.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 6th. We're going to be delving a little deeper into the story of Elijah being taken up in a whirlwind. It's quite interesting that it is through this natural element, nothing more than a whirlwind, like you would see if you were standing out on a riverbank, that Elijah is drawn up into heaven. We also need to talk about what it is Elijah was called to do and what it is Elisha was called to do. Essentially, these two prophets do a lot of miracles. They foreshadow the ministry of Jesus in many ways, but they also have something to say as well. When we come back, more with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. I'm Todd Wilkin. How can a proper distinction between God's law and God's gospel help you better understand God's word? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible. You can purchase Law and Gospel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Law and Gospel, How to Read and Apply the Bible by C.F.W. Walther.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us here in the studio on this Wednesday afternoon, the 6th of July. We're talking about Elijah being carried up into heaven in a whirlwind. You often talk about this, especially in these Old Testament stories, that God never hesitates, it seems, to use a natural element to accomplish his work. And in this case, we've got two natural elements. We've got wind and fire, and one might even want to toss in their water if we have the miracle of the waters parting there as well. Talk about why God does this.
Sure. And you know, Todd, that's really the focus theme of all our summer stories. We're jumping around Scripture, but what ties all these stories together this summer in Growing in Christ is this way that God uses his creation to bring about his purposes. It's not uncommon, right down to the very things that God uses today in our lives to impart forgiveness, life, and salvation. Words, water, bread, and wine. Here we have a whirlwind, fire, and parting waters again. All things of creation, things that God created, things that God controls. And then in these cases, using them in supernatural ways, in not common ways, to bring about his purposes. And all his purposes are always for our salvation. So this was an important event here because God needed a man. He needed a prophet. He needed men who could speak his word, his words of law, to convict people of their sin, and then men who could speak the promise of the Savior, pointing them to the gospel message that God has a plan to save his sinful people.
What does it mean that God gives Elijah this special thing? I mean, we assume that this is, sometimes it's called the assumption of Elijah, because we assume, not to pun too badly, that he is taken bodily and alive into heaven, into eternal life, something that is, by and large, with the exception of the ascended and risen Christ, probably completely unique as far as we know. Maybe Enoch, but that's a little, in the earlier Old Testament, that's a little vague. Does it say something about what God is trying to tell us about the life and ministry of Elijah, that he is translated into eternal life and never needs to taste of death?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure I've thought that through.
Is it God saying to this rebellious Israel, you really should be listening to this guy. I'm going to give you one more crack at it.
Yeah, this is another one of those neon billboards, you know, glaring in their faces. And it's true. Nobody gets to heaven unless they die first, right? Except look at this, what's going on. And this was God's man who spoke his word, who did his bidding on this earth. And it does, you know, it takes me to ascension, as you alluded to Christ's ascension. And I think it also says something about what will be for us. Yes, we're going to die, but we are going to live forever with Christ in heaven and in our bodies, new bodies, wonderful bodies. But that hope of real resurrection, there's a taste of it here too, in this, isn't there? That he will go to be with Jesus, or go to be with God, to live with him. That is a screaming billboard advertisement, if you will, a message to the people.
A friend of mutual acquaintance, Jim Veltz, from Concordia Seminary, talks about John the Baptist. You mentioned him before, who comes in the spirit of Elijah, according to Malachi, and who is the forerunner of Christ's first coming. And then he asks the question, so who is the Elijah for Christ's second coming? That is, who is here proclaiming the second coming of Christ, the return of Christ, in advance of that? And his answer to that question is, well, Christ is his own Elijah. He's his own forerunner. Mm-hmm. He is here speaking today in advance of his return. And people might say, well, then where, if Jesus is the Elijah for his second coming, where do I hear him? Where will I hear Christ speaking? How would you answer that question?
Oh, that's a great question. And if that isn't another neon a sign, if all these things happen in the Old Testament, we get to the New Testament, and God says, okay, you know, you're still not getting it. I'm sending my son. He sends him in the flesh. He does these miracles himself. He speaks God's word directly to the people. And he ascends, and he will return. And in the meantime, he still is speaking to us. And that this lesson connects us to that. We started out talking about ordination and God's men that are called to speak his word, to preach his word to us, to give his gifts to us. And that's why we hold so sacred this office of the holy ministry, why we so carefully train these men in the word of God, and not just in our language, but in the original languages. And we teach them how to study it and to speak it and to teach it so that that word can be brought to us poor sinners, that we might have faith, might hear God's word, believe and trust in Jesus for our salvation.
So when you go to church on Sunday, is there a man there acting in the power and spirit of Elijah?
Absolutely. And that's our pastor, called by the congregation, standing in front of us in strange clothes, too, if you will, like not this the animal skins of the old prophet John or Elijah, but set apart like they were, set apart by God and man as one who will speak God's words of law and gospel to us, and who will give us the gifts of salvation, word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, who will hear our confessions and will pronounce forgiveness, not their forgiveness, but the forgiveness of God, the very forgiveness of God.
Elisha carries on after Elijah, mm-hmm. and it's soon proven that he does possess a double portion. I mean, the works that he does are amazing.
Yes.
And even by Elijah standards, even to the point that, if I'm not mistaken, after Elisha is dead, there's some sort of a skirmish on the nearby battlefield, and a guy is killed and accidentally tumbles into the tomb, touches Elisha's bones, and he's instantly raised. I mean, that's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Someone says, look, that's Old Testament stuff, and that maybe even be the stuff of Jesus' ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, it's also mundane. No miracles are happening anymore. Do miracles also happen of that magnitude through the Elishas of today on Sunday morning?
Absolutely. If it isn't a miracle, I don't know what it is, that we come burdened with our sin, with our guilt, weighed down with life in this sinful world, and not have a pastor speak to us God's word, lifting that burden, taking our sins away through holy absolution, giving us in bread and wine the very body and blood of Jesus. These are the things we confess. These are the things we believe. Those are miracles, that these simple things that a sinful man, our pastor, can stand in front of us and speak God's perfect life-saving word to us, to strengthen our faith, to give us faith, that he can give us the meal of eternity and salvation. Through bread and wine that he puts in our mouths. And those are miracles, aren't they, Pastor? And those are greater than all these big whiz-bang things, because these are directly tied to our salvation.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday School curriculum called Growing in Christ. You can find out all about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They would be happy to send you a free sample of Growing in Christ, Christ-centered, cross-focused. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Call them and ask about growing in Christ. Pam, thank you so much for being our guest. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks. It's great to see you and not just hear you.
The Jordan is the center of so much of God's saving work for his people. And the prophets are there proclaiming God's word, doing the works of God, acting in the spirit of God himself. And nothing has changed for us today. It doesn't look like the flowing Jordan River, but that baptismal font in church on Sunday morning is the Jordan. God brings it forward where this water, ordinary, everyday water, just like you find flowing down the banks of the Jordan, is used to God's purpose. And these men who stand in the pulpits and at the altars, they are just ordinary people, just like Elijah was an ordinary man, or Elisha was an ordinary man in themselves, but God uses them to an extraordinary purpose. And there at that table, God does and delivers the saving work of Jesus Christ through ordinary, everyday means, like bread and wine. And it looks like nothing special, but God uses these things to his extraordinary purpose. And what is that purpose? Then and now, it is to save sinners, sinners like you, sinners like me, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.